No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed and Keith. Wait a minute. Neither one of them are here. Again. What is their excuse this time? Oh, yeah, that's right. They got to go save their planes because of Hurricane Matthew. Yeah, here's the deal. Now, we are taping Just Plane Radio today on a Wednesday afternoon because, for those of you who don't know, we are based in Orlando, Florida. And as I speak, Hurricane Matthew is churning down there in the Caribbean, headed up our way. It might be quite a thing. I mean, we'll know by Saturday airtime. You know, 11 a.m. When we usually broadcast, but I figured we better get a head start on the show this week because we may not be here. We may be blown away on Saturday. So we've made some precautions to make sure we don't miss two shows in a week because last week we took a vacation week as I was in Alaska. So here we are taping, and Ed and Keith, well, neither one of them are here right now because they're over at the airport, Orlando Executive, flying their planes out of harm's way. So we're going to try to check in with them at some point during the show today and see how things are going, and we'll inform you accordingly. In the meantime, I am not flying solo. God knows, you know, everybody can lean on him, AOPA, and we have a direct line to Tom Haynes, the big man there at AOPA, and he's with me to help me navigate these hurricane-filled winds of aloft. I don't know, they're just kind of churning and creating all kinds of havoc down here in the southeast. You hear what I'm saying there, Tom?
I sure do. You know what you're doing, or what those guys are doing. You know, it's pre-flight planning there, Greg.
Is that what
they're doing? Another format of pre-flight planning.
I thought they were just flying to your house.
Well, they're welcome here if they don't mind coming all the way to Maryland. But, taking precautions and taking control of the situation and making the best of it. You know, one thing the pilots don't often recognize is that your insurance company, if your airplane is in harm's way, like a path of a hurricane,
yeah,
and you can't get it out for one reason or another, maybe you're not instrument rated, the weather's turning bad, or you're not home or whatever, they will frequently pay for a contract pilot to fly your airplane away from the storm and get it to a safe place.
Yeah,
and that sort of thing. So it's worth investigating if you're in, you know, anywhere in harm's way with your airplane to get it out of there, and perhaps it won't even cost you anything if your insurance company has that clause, and most of them do.
Well, there you go. And you know, I talked to Ed about this last time when we had a hurricane scare here in Florida, and they were contemplating this literally just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Do we fly the planes out of the area? And I said, well, wait, isn't that what your insurance is for? If it comes through and blows your planes away, you know, your company goes, yeah, we're covered, but we have no airplanes.
Yeah, really, you're kind of out of business for
them. Yeah, and they're a flight school, so that creates a problem for flight training professionals. So
definitely,
they're taking a few steps to protect the fleet. And like I said, I'm hoping we can connect with them sometime during the show today and find out how they're progressing. And like I said, we'll know soon enough how this Hurricane Matthew right. is affecting things. Now, it's already affected the Bahamas, Haiti, and it's still a little too early for us as we're recording the show at this point to find out, you know, what is going on. But I know general aviation plays a big role in getting relief to these people. Am I right there, Tom, or what?
Yeah, it sure does. It's amazing how important general aviation airports and general aviation airplanes become in a crisis situation like this, whether it's an earthquake, mudslides, hurricanes, fires, any of those kind of situations. General aviation plays a really important role in moving people, specialty equipment, people with special training, dogs who are involved in rescue operations, as well as equipment, food, water, all that kind of stuff. And we've already been contacted here just in the first couple of days of this storm, before it even got to Haiti. We had already had calls from a couple of rescue groups, including remote area missions being one of them. And they have a couple of airplanes that they need some pilots for. Their pilots are typically contract pilots. they're off doing other things and they can't get away, so they're looking for some guys to substitutes and fly supplies and doctors to Haiti. And they were already making those arrangements before the storm even got to Haiti. And, of course, now, as we record this, it's already passed through Haiti, caused devastation there. And General Aviation is going to be swooping in there probably later today, on Wednesday, and providing, you know, doctors and relief and supplies and that sort of thing. And they're going to follow right along and into the Bahamas. They'll be there quickly. We've heard from Habitat Bahamas, which is another group that does a lot of work in trying to help the Bahamians after hurricanes and other disasters like this. And so we've at AOPA, we're making a donation to that cause.
Excellent. And just for the record, today at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, our Scuba Radio show is planning to be live, and we have a lot of friends in the Bahamas that are planning to give us firsthand reports and see how they're doing. So if you're wondering what the latest is, make sure you tune in for that, especially from a diving perspective and water boating, and obviously we'll cover some plane stuff too. But we have a lot of folks in the Bahamas that are going to be able to give us firsthand reports, and we plan to bring that to you today at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. ScubaRadio.com. All right, so obviously General Aviation plays a huge role in doing this. And AOPA, do you guys help coordinate some of those groups and facilitate getting messages to them or something? Is that what you're kind of alluding to there, or what, Tom?
Well, we can play a lot of roles. One is we make donations, of cash. So
yeah.
Sometimes member dues get used to help buy fuel, for example, or to buy some supplies that gets transported. At AOPA itself, we've had crews actually participate in relief efforts in the Bahamas after Hurricane Irene in 2011. We had a caravan at the time, and we flew a bunch of supplies down to a couple of different islands in the Bahamas. But we can also, being the largest media organization in aviation, we can get the word out about what the needs are. Mm-hmm. We've done it in the past where pilots will pick up supplies in their community. Maybe it's clothing, could be water, bottled water and that sort of thing, and we can coordinate and let people know where they can take it, like into South Florida at a particular airport at a particular time where the relief agencies will be staged, and then they can load it up onto larger airplanes typically and then fly it out to the islands or wherever they need it. So we can help get the word out. Same thing with the pilots I was talking about, the group that needs pilots this week. We can get the word out to pilots around the country who might be willing to donate their time if they've got caravan time or King Air 200 time to go down and fly a couple of missions over the weekend.
Well, see, this is when I am supposed to have my Quest Kodiak, right?
It'd be a great airplane, great.
And that, if they would only give me one of those friggin' planes, we'd be good to go, And then, of course, I got to get my certificate too.
There is a small detail.
There are small details, but yeah. Let's start with the plane, guys. Listen up. See, I could have been helping the world right now, and it's your fault. Yeah. That's where I'm going with that.
Let me get a plug in for General Aviation Airports once again, though. I mean, we talk about a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, have heard about what's going on in Santa Monica, California, for example, an airport that's under a great deal of duress because the city is trying to close it, and it's really bogus what's going on out there.
Haters are going to hate. I mean, that is ridiculous what's going on out there, Tom. Why do they hate the airport so badly out there? What is the problem?
And the thing is that they just don't recognize the value of what they have, because think about it in an emergency situation. California's going to have another earthquake, guaranteed, and it's going to be a big one, and they're going to need ability to move around. Highway bridges are going to go down. We saw that in California or in San Francisco when that happened, 15 years or so ago. And so we're going to see situations where you cannot move around on the highways nearly as efficiently as you can normally. And so how do you get things moved? You do it through general aviation airports, which are scattered all over the place, and we need them all. And every time you lose one, it's like losing an on-ramp to an interstate highway or something like that. It limits your access. So I would just, think about telling the people around Santa Monica that whether it's fires, earthquakes, and other natural disasters that can occur, that your airports are really a key local resource in situations like that.
Yeah, they're going to be a lifeline if they have some problems, for sure. And I got to tell you, you're so right. I mean, driving in California is a nightmare as it is, so I can't imagine. Or actually, if I ever lived out there, I think I would have to have a helicopter or an airplane, because you can't get anywhere when you're driving. It's insane.
Yep.
during rush hour. But anyway, all right. So there's a lot obviously going on today, and we got to talk about my trip to Alaska.
Yes, we do. I want to hear about the airplane rides and the helicopter rides and everything else.
That's right. I did my first helicopter ride. I landed on a glacier. I got to tell you all about that. And then we got to compare notes because I know you spent some quality time there as well. So we got that to cover. We got to check in with Ed and Keith, hopefully find out how their planes are doing. Hurricane Matthew. It's just creating havoc for us on Just Plane Radio today. And I don't know, maybe we'll all learn something together, how to prepare your airplane or, you know, help out in a crisis like this as a pilot, you name it. We'll come up with something that we can all share together on today's big show. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
A buzzard took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on a square. The buzzard tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. Tom Haynes from AOPA is helping us out today on the big show as we hunker down for Hurricane Matthew. You know, we're flying planes all over to get them out of the cone of danger. And so Ed and Keith are kind of busy today. We'll see if we can get them on the line here before the show wraps up. But let's talk about my trip to Alaska, because it's been a week. You know, it's been a while since, you know, we've been doing the show, because I hopped on a Princess cruise and got on the last cruise of the season, going north to south there, and went to Glacier Bay, Ketchikan, you know, all these cool places, ports that these things go. And I got to tell you, Tom, first off, you know, I prefer flying big time. But taking a cruise ship right up to the edge of a glacier is pretty cool, too, I'll admit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, the thing about the cruise ships is when they're in Glacier Bay like that, they become your viewing platform.
Yeah.
You know, they can turn those things around in their own length. And so they They pull right up to the glaciers practically and spin the ship around. Everybody gets a great view of calving glaciers and that sort of thing. And, yeah, it's a wonderful experience.
It was indeed. And when you combine it with some general aviation excursions, mm-hmm. which is what I did, you're talking about a trip of a lifetime for sure. So the scenery from the boat, spectacular. But then I actually got to Juneau, and we had rented a helicopter to fly us up to the top of a glacier and landed on a glacier. And first of all, you know, the trip up there, you know, we're going up over the mountain ledges, and they take us on like a 20-minute tour around the area. And I was blown away. I got to tell you, you know, I'm going to get my pilot's license, but now I'm thinking I might have to get my helicopter's license, too. Yep. You hear what I'm saying? That was pretty cool.
It can be addictive.
It can be addictive. I was talking to the helicopter pilot, and he was telling me what it took, and then I was like, okay, I guess I don't want to be. He's like, he's just like, you know, how much they pay? Well, they don't really pay me. I just do this for the hours. I mean, the poor sap, he, you know, evidently that's a tough gig. But a lot of people from all over the world, and especially the U.S., go to Alaska during the season and run these helicopters. They don't pay them real well, but they get really high quality hours. And he said, you know, once you have that on your resume as a helicopter pilot in Alaska, because of all the constant weather changes they have to deal with, that's like gold. And they can be hired anywhere after that. So, you know, you got a lot of that stuff going on. But he said it's just amazing. He said, and the day we went, you know, we picked a perfect day. So the scenery was just awesome. And you could see for miles. And I don't know. That view was just spectacular in a helicopter. Now, I didn't get to fly in like a little Cessna. One of the people in our group did, and she said that was pretty awesome too, because they went off on the float plane and
we did,
you
that.
Know, flew through the island or through the mountains and stuff, but they actually landed you know, off into some little cove and stuff, and just hung out for a few minutes, and then he took off again. And I was like, okay, that sounds pretty good too. So I didn't do that, but I heard about it, and that's what you did, right?
Yeah, we were in a Beaver on floats and took off and from Juneau as well, and flew around and went down in the fjords and landed in the, you know, one of the fjords on the water, which was glass smooth, you know, just kind of unbelievably smooth, and shut the engine down and just hung out for a few minutes on the float, got out of the airplane and onto the floats and just hung out and listened to the silence and looked around at the amazing vistas. And in a sort of place that you really can't get there any other way. I mean, maybe it's possible to get there by boat, but back through the way these fjords are, if you can even get there by boat, it would take you forever, and I certainly would get lost.
Yeah.
But with an airplane, you know, it's just minutes away, and was really incredible. I just wanted to stay there on the water longer, you know, dock the airplane and just hang out there on a little gravel beach or something and just chill for the day. It would have been great fun.
Well, have you ever hiked on top of a glacier?
I have not. We did. I've landed on a glacier on an airplane in skis before.
Really?
And that was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I bet. Well, we landed the helicopter on this glacier in Juneau and hiked around for a couple miles.
Wow.
They outfitted us with all the gear, you know, make us look like we were scaling Mount Everest. I had my own ice pick, like Yukon Cornelius.
Cool.
And from Rudolph, the whole thing, and I'm throwing it around, gold, nothing, you know. But it was just, I mean, it was like another world. I mean, it was truly spectacular to see this up close. And I don't know, I can't rave about it enough. If you go up to Alaska and you don't do that, you are missing out, even though, you know, it's a few $100 and stuff. I don't know. I was wondering, you know, we did the cruise ship excursion, but if you would have just went up there, Juneau, got off the ship, or any way you'd get up to Alaska, I would imagine that there's tons of pilots you could approach and see if you could get a plane ride for an hour or so. Am I right, or do you know?
Well, most of them are through tour companies, because, you know, your average pilot can't take somebody for a ride and charge them for it because of the federal aviation regulations. You can only share costs. And so really the way to do it is through the tour companies. Now, but you can certainly do it without being on a cruise ship. You know, you can just walk up to the companies or make reservations in advance. You know, you've explored now just a little corner of Alaska. It's such a vast state. And that's the really cool thing about using aviation up there, is you can go places and, you know, cover distances that just aren't practical by any other means. You know, when I was up there last year, we flew along the Crupper River Valley, which is northeast of Anchorage. And, you know, from where you were to get there by ground transportation. First of all, you can't even get in a Juno on ground transportation. It's pretty much all by boat or airplane.
Right.
You know, you would be probably a couple of days by any other means getting to northeast of Anchorage where I was. But in an airplane, you know, you could have been there in, well, probably a couple hours. But once you're there, then you can explore the whole Copper River Valley via airplane. And that's a pretty phenomenal area as well.
Well, I'm in. So if you're going, call me, or we'll just get Ed and Keith and orchestrate some kind of fly-in out there. I mean, a matter of fact,
sounds good to me.
That, why don't you do a AOPA fly-in in Alaska? You just had the best one ever last weekend. Am I right?
We did. We were in Prescott, Arizona for our final one of the year. It's the fourth one of the year, and we had a blowout experience. It was 6,300 people. The most we'd ever had was Bremerton, Washington back in August. And that was just over 4,000, and we were just blown away by that number. And then to have 6,300 show up at Prescott almost overwhelmed our little system, I got to tell you, but it managed to be a good day nonetheless. 560 airplanes and over 2,000 cars. It was
something.
Really fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you try to do that in Alaska, they might freak out, but you could still try. It would be a fun adventure.
Trust me. We've talked about it. There's a really, if anybody's interested in going up, there's a really good aviation event that occurs usually right at the end of April or the first couple of days of May. The Alaska Airmen Association does their big show in Anchorage.
Is that one? Usually, is that the one where they fly, try to fly in the shortest distance or something?
Well, usually that event, that STOL event that you're referring to, usually happens the weekend afterward down in Valdez, down on the coast.
Ah.
And so if you're going to spend a week up there, go to the Alaska thing at the beginning of the week, get down to Valdez, and see the STOL contest at the end of the week.
Yes. They land in the shortest distance possible. It's an impressive video. Google it.
It is.
Or just go to AOPA.org. That's where you need to start. And we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Craig, your co-pilot, that's me, and Tom Haynes from AOPA has flown away from us to safety. He's out of the cone of danger. However, look who just showed up. It's Captain Ed, fresh from flying his planes. Went into a hangar? Is that what you did?
Yeah, we flew him into a hangar.
You didn't have to fly him out of town?
No. Long, drawn-out process, but basically kept watching it, and looking at the tracks and the models, and finally you just have to make a decision. And
yeah.
It's probably one of the best hangars on the airport, and we just put him away and packed up the office as best we can to protect it.
You're good to go.
We're good to go.
Find out next week.
Yeah, we'll find out next week how good to go we were.
Exactly. So there you have it. Flight Training Professionals is packed up, hunkered down.
Mm-hmm.
The planes are protected in a hangar.
Yep.
In Orlando.
Yep.
And you know, when you look at the track of Hurricane Matthew, it's coming through here. There isn't really much even you could fly to, because they're thinking it's going to go up all through the East Coast. You had to fly it out to California or Colorado to be
safe.
Well,
some of the latest models have it hooking back around, so we might be talking about this again next week.
That would be fun.
Because it shows it flipping around and coming into South Florida Tuesday, Wednesday of next week.
Really? Is that what it's doing?
That's really what the models
are doing. Oh, boy. All right. So we are taping the show this week before the... before Hurricane Matthew swings through our home base of operations in Orlando.
Even though it'll be through by the time you're listening to this, we have no clue if we're going to have any power or not.
Yes.
It'll probably be the biggest issue here in Orlando is power and trees down and stuff like that.
Yeah. If it's anything like Charlie was 10 years ago, that created havoc.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have AC for like a week. That was torture.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it's a little later in the season. It's slightly cooler. Actually, I was out earlier. It's still pretty much summer here.
Now, 2005, when Wilma hit, that was nice right after it.
It was nice and cool. Just popped the windows open.
A cold front came through, and I was actually making hot chocolate on the camp stove the next morning.
All right, sweet. Well, I don't want to lose power. I don't want to camp. I'm not a camper.
We've seen that.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly it in the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative. And it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Gonna take it for a ride on a big jet plane.
Hey, hey. This is Just Plane Radio.
Hey, hey.
I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Ed. He's with me right now. Now, Keith is where? Where is he trying to save his home?
He's now that he is a mobile homer.
I don't know if we've even shared that.
Yeah, we have. We've talked about that.
Okay. Yeah, he moved into a mobile home.
Well, he got the new one. They probably haven't talked about that, the new fifth wheel.
Right.
So it looks like it's probably going to be a permanent thing. That they went ahead and got
the bigger one,
the deluxe motor home in the sky.
I
said, "What are you turning into, George and Wheezy?" And he had no clue about that comment.
Well, of course, he doesn't watch TV.
He never watched 70s TV.
But
so.
I would say that's a pretty good depiction.
Yeah, I mean this thing is the Taj Mahal trailer. I've seen pictures of it.
Okay.
He sent me a comparison picture, one side by side with the old one, and how much of an upgrade it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't want to be sitting in hurricane force winds and that thing. And, it can take the winds. You know, it's just if something really strong comes out and tips it over. So they
picks it up and flies it around
like an airplane.
He's off to Oz.
Yeah.
You know?
But
yeah.
he's pulling the slide outs in, packing it up, and they're going to go over to Cedar Key on the West Coast and for a couple days.
That is kind of nice.
It is, and you think about it. It take me about an hour to get everything secured and hooked up and going.
He doesn't got to worry about running out of energy.
Well, yeah. Well, no, actually, no. They don't have it's wired for a generator, but the generator's not in yet.
Oh.
And
that's going to be tough to secure at this point.
Yeah.
If he stays in Florida, Georgia, he's out of luck.
Well, it's going to be a built-in generator. And run off LP gas and all that stuff. So he's got plenty of LP gas. He's got plenty of water.
He's fine.
It doesn't matter.
He'll go shoot a deer, and that'll feed him for a month.
There you go.
But there you go. So he's on the road protecting his homestead.
Yes.
Let's get back to the planes and what you guys had to do to secure them for this storm.
There was some groveling involved.
What do you mean? What, getting someone to move them for you? Or?
No, getting hangar space.
Oh, is that what it was?
That's actually not true. I mean, we have a long-standing relationship with a corporate operator on the airport, and and we actually had him in for the last storm that went by.
Now, how does that work? When you work out a deal with a hangar to house your plane, like especially in an emergency situation, do you fly it in or trailer it in for them, or do they have to do it themselves? Or
no,
it
well, it's the corporate hangar is part of the Atlantic complex.
Okay,
that, basically, the difference is the corporation owns this hangar and leases the land under the hangar.
Yeah,
but Atlantic takes care of moving the airplanes in and out. So all we really did was taxi the airplanes over by the hangar to save them a little bit of time, and they packed them in there. And if you want to see what it looks like, it's on our Facebook page. Go to Flight Training Professionals Facebook page, and I've got a picture of the fleet in the hangar. And the King Ears and the Falcons are not ours; they're other people's. And
well, you shouldn't
I think
say
Bob
that.
Bob Showalter has
give
his
them
Aztec
the wrong idea
in there. So
yeah,
but it's actually a really nice picture because it does display everything out there. And
ftpros.com, go there and you can check it out.
It's our Facebook page.
Oh, your Facebook. It's on Facebook.
Just go and search Flight Training Professionals on Facebook.
Okay, you could do that.
And the more complicated side of it is that decision of whether should I stay or should I go.
Yeah, because you guys were planning to fly them out. That's what you told
well,
me.
We it was a definite consideration. And
where would have you flown them? That's what I was saying earlier. There was
probably
no
Tallahassee.
Place. Well, yeah, but that's not really that much safer either.
Oh,
is
yeah, it?
It
is. Yeah.
Well, it's safer than 30, where we are.
I mean, taking it
now.
Taking them over to Crystal River on the West Coast would be fine too. Hmm. We don't have to get them that far out of the way. It really comes down to what do you think the path is going to be. I've been involved with some of these relocations during hurricanes, and you know, back in when I was working with Comair Academy, you know, we had a fleet of 120 airplanes.
Yeah.
And so four locations all in Florida, you know, so we had the South Florida ones sometimes just evacuated up to our location in Sanford. You know, in a couple cases, we actually, because it was like this one coming up the coastline, we evacuated the Miami base, the Fort Lauderdale base. They came up to Sanford. Then we launched from there and pulled the Jacksonville people out and met in Valdosta. So we had the entire fleet in Valdosta, but then it's coming inland and heading towards, you know, it looks like one of the tracks is taking it closer to Valdosta. So then we split the fleet up, sent some to Panama City, some up to Selma, Alabama. It's quite a logistical feat with that number of airplanes, just finding tie down space for it, and so that was the big thing. The nice thing about this fleet size we have, it's small. I mean, we were able to get them all in one hangar.
Well, what do you think is the, the threshold of mile per hour winds? Because we're in Central Florida.
And we're forecast to have Category 1 winds. So we're going to have winds over 70 miles an hour. And they're predicting right now up to 90, gusts up to 90.
Well, I saw 100.
Now, that must be new. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
yet.
They were saying gusts up to 100 miles per hour in Orlando, which we're like 50 miles inland, too, by the way.
30.
Is it 30?
30.
Oh, geez.
Well, okay. Titusville Airport's 28 miles from Executive Airport.
Okay.
So well, if you go all the way out to the tip of Cape Canaveral, maybe 45.
Okay. Well, we'll say I was right then.
In your dreams.
But the thing is, you know, that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, it is.
Regardless, whether it's 70 or 100, doesn't really matter. That's going to be the strongest winds we've had here in Orlando.
Yeah.
Since I can remember.
But buildings don't fall down in that.
No, but you lose roofs.
On houses, not on commercial buildings.
Yeah, is that what it is?
We're talking a pretty sturdy hangar here, and there's some hangars on the airport I wouldn't have put them in.
Yeah,
but that, you know, our decision process also considered which side of the storm we're on. And the track was a couple times yesterday was looking like it could swing further inland, and we get on the east side of the storm, which is where the severe weather is, where there's tornadic activity. And what really did the damage at Executive Airport when Charlie came through, there were a lot of airplanes left outside, and there were a couple hangars, older hangars that were just flattened. But they're pretty sure that was tornadic activity.
Okay, so it's those microbursts
that
we got in Charlie, and they come through with this front. You know, it's the hurricane's one thing, and the consistent winds of 70 miles per hour will do their damage, especially if they hang over you for 24 hours, which is what they're saying right now. We'll find out when this airs, and you'll know about how we fared next Saturday. However, the thing is these microbursts kind of come in with the front, and there'll be these little mini tornadoes inside the hurricane. And last time when Charlie came through here at the broadcast complex here, my front yard, it basically severed the top of a tree trunk that was probably about 25 inches in diameter. Literally severed it off like a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't consistent wind. That was a microburst came in and whacked a few trees in our neighborhood. And it was impressive power.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That could happen. But you're saying that's usually in the northeast side of the hurricane? I mean, they say that's the most powerful winds.
Yeah.
That's where the
stronger probability of tornado activity.
All right. So right now they're saying we're going to be on the west side of it, which wouldn't be that part.
Correct.
But still, as strong as it is, this kind of worries me. I don't love getting scared, Ed.
Relax, Greg.
Let's just go take a plane and fly to Colorado.
They're all in the hangar right now. I can't
Couldn't
do
we
that.
Get them in? We wouldn't even have to start the planes up. Wouldn't they just take off with the winds?
Well, yeah, they just take off with the winds. And that's actually what happened to a flight school ad executive. They lost that, and Charlie, they lost the 19 of 26 airplanes.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they, were they tempted to get in them and just like, hey,
no, they weren't
they're
there.
Gliders.
They weren't there, but the fire department, which is right there on the airport, has a window onto the ramp and saw them dancing in their tie downs. And then they said the cable that was holding the tie downs in place broke, and they just started flying around each other. Yeah,
that would be kind of fun to see. Could you try such a thing? Has anyone done that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can.
I mean,
I'm actually, Mythbusters did it with an airplane. They pulled it across behind the jet wash of a 747.
Yeah, and turned it into like a kite.
It just flipped end over end and just crumpled
up. If you're in there flying it, you'd have to control it, but if
you couldn't.
There's no way you can control those winds. If they're coming in one direction, wouldn't you just keep your plane pointed like you're a glider?
No.
Couldn't do that.
Good.
It just works with paper airplanes.
That's right.
Well, that's no fun. You know, we ought to do our own Mythbusters. That sounds like a good job for Keith.
All right.
We can volunteer him because he's not here. More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Lionfish are cool to see, but stings are painful and on the rise as their numbers increase. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what to do if a lionfish stings you.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Lionfish possess spines that transport venom into puncture wounds. The injuries can be extraordinarily painful. Soaking the wound in non-scalding hot water to tolerance will likely relieve the pain from a lionfish sting. Of course, if the injured person appears intoxicated or is weak, vomiting, short of breath, or unconscious, seek immediate advanced medical care. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, cause you know you should do better. That's because you're.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. We are your crew today, navigating the latest aviation news and information. Well, actually, we're just talking about Hurricane Matthew, and you're basking in the aftermath, something like that. Because we're actually taping the show before it swings through our area in Orlando today, so we may not be here. We may have
Greg
been blown out
beer.
To Cuba or something.
We may not
goes.
Have power.
Yeah, that's
we
worse.
We may have not as many trees. May have a hole
no
in our roof.
No AC in Florida? Are you kidding me? Welcome to hell. I've had nightmares that were worse than that.
Well, I called up my son yesterday and asked him his advice because he's now officially been through one more hurricane than I have because he rode the one out in Tallahassee earlier this year.
He did.
And he said, no, Dad, I don't have any advice for you. I'm like, thanks a lot.
Just lock yourself in a bathroom.
Yeah. And, of course, when that one was coming by us, Keith was, of course, living in the trailer at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So his son calls him up. He says, Dad, I'm worried. Are you planning to stay in the trailer during the storm? And he's like, yeah. He says, I really think you need to not stay in it, and you need to go to Lauren's, which is his sister's.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's all that tough love you gave him, because it's there you are. Your own son says, well, what about staying with him?
And it's like,
he cares enough about you to worry about you, but not enough to open his own doors for you.
Well, he's lived with him long enough.
Exactly.
He knows better. Okay. Well, yeah. And besides, he probably just said, oh, I got it tied down.
Yeah.
That's what Velcro is for.
That's right.
I don't know. But if you can't get your plane into a hangar when bad weather comes your way, what's the best way to tie it down? Or is there a better way than you typically would? Just more lines?
Well, yeah, I have seen double ties, you know, so if one rope breaks, the other one holds.
Yeah.
I've seen people, put actual chains on them.
Chains?
Yeah, that they're less likely to break in the stress.
Okay. Wouldn't your plane break before a chain broke?
Yeah,
defeats the purpose.
But yeah. The bottom line is, and there are. I mean, when I left the airport this afternoon, there were three airplanes still on the ramp.
Really?
One of them I know is for sale. So I'm thinking, boy, I'll get better dollar out of the insurance company than I've been able to try to sell this for.
Mm-hmm.
Those airplanes may not be there on Saturday when I go back.
Well, how would that work with the insurance company? It just depends on your policy.
And that's the thing, that in airplane insurance in Florida and hurricanes, we have it in our policy where they will help pay for an evacuation.
Yeah.
And it states in there that we should make effort to secure the airplanes in hangar or fly them away.
Okay. And I would imagine that kind of goes on somewhat of an honor system. Say, for instance, if you're out of town, I mean, how are they supposed to prove that you didn't?
Yeah, with a flight school, it's a little different. And
it's
flight school type policy. The individual owner policy is probably a little bit different when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the flight school, as far as hangering or moving them, there are situations like with, which one was it? It was Charlie.
Yeah.
Comair Academy or Delta Connection Academy at the time wasn't able to evacuate their aircraft, and they lost a couple of them. They stocked as many of them in their maintenance hangars as they could, even took wings off of some to get them in there a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost, I think, four airplanes. And they had a fleet of 100 and some. But they couldn't evacuate because right before that was Tropical Storm Bertha had come through, and it was sitting on the north end of the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no escaping.
We were blocked in.
Yeah.
We got whacked by like three of them that year.
Three
storms.
Well, yeah, that we were down in South Florida still when Charlie came in on the west coast and up the center of the state.
Yeah.
Then Francis came in right where we were in just north of Palm Beach, just north of Jupiter. Cat 3 came in, turned, and came northbound. We flew the airplanes to South Carolina that time and actually took all the customers and did some training up there. We were gone 5 days. Hmm. We come back, the hangar that we were in, the hangar door had been blown in, so our office space got wet, and I had to remodel all that.
Hmm.
And so I got all the remodeling done, took a day off. And in the meantime, Gene had come along the coastline much further out than what Matthew is, but did exactly what they're forecasting Matthew to do that hook around. So it hooked around and came right back and hit within 3 miles of where Francis hit.
Yeah.
Within 3 weeks as a Cat 3.
Yeah, that blew, literally. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, the beautiful thing was the first storm, you know, knocked out everything that needed to be knocked out, trees and power lines, and it was a much quicker recovery. You know, people had roof damage from the first one, you know, and basically had that tarped up, and the tarp stayed on.
But as soon as the word got out that another storm was coming, even inland, you know, 45 miles in from the coast for Orlando, we, all around our neighborhood, everyone had plywood on their windows.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a minute, we're not even on the coast. What are they doing that for?
Well, exactly. Exactly. Now, down in West Palm, I was about 6 miles from the coast, and I boarded up the windows.
Yeah, on the coast you would, but 50 miles inland, you wouldn't think.
But, you know, and sat through that house during Wilma as well the year later and boarded it up, and the eye came right over us. We were actually out in the middle of the eye.
Well, see, no one's boarding up in the area this time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign. We'll find out next week.
Yeah.
If you tune in and you hear a repeat, you'll know that we're down. But hopefully we will be live with Just Plain Radio next week. So wish us luck. And we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.